Luke chapter number 10, Jesus in conversation with a certain lawyer who was asking the question in verse 25, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, and that's wording there that reveals the mindset of that lawyer. He was looking for a route to justify himself. He being willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gives the story, the parable, whatever you want to call it, as we know it to be the story of the Good Samaritan, to answer the question of who is my neighbor. But I want to focus our attention on the man who went away from Jerusalem to go to Jericho. I want us to focus on him, verse number 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, the priest, in case I don't get back, the priest represents religion. Religion will walk by you. And of course, the Levite represents the law. The law of God cannot save you. But the Bible said, but a certain, verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But, I'm thankful for that word, but, showing a distinction, showing a difference. Yeah, the priest and the Levite, they both came by and they both saw and they both made a choice to not help. But I'm glad for the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, as we know it, this story to be. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now I want to focus our attention on this example that our Lord gave, verse number 30, of a certain man that went down from Jerusalem. I was reading this not long ago, and it spoke to my heart, and I underlined some words and made some notes, and the Lord just ministered to my heart with it. The Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if I could, I want to just deal with a thought that's just simple as it can be. Why would anybody leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho? Why leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho? When you think about Jerusalem and its connotation in the scripture and what it means and what it represents, and then look on the flip side of that at what Jericho represents. Jericho has been known through the Old Testament, the New Testament, as being a place that opposes God. The Jericho walls, the city of Jericho was the first place that needed to be conquered when the children of Israel crossed Jordan and went into the land of Canaan representing the Spirit-filled life. Of course, we see there the opposition of Jericho. And then when you come even into the book from which I read tonight in the Gospel of Luke, you can flip just a few pages to the right and get into chapter 19. And you find there that Jesus is taken and going through Jericho. And far as we know from our studying, that he only went through Jericho one time in his earthly ministry. And he was going through Jericho en route to be crucified. He goes through Jericho, and guess who he meets up a tree? Zacchaeus. Was a man that lived and worked in the city of Jericho. Jericho was destroyed in the Old Testament. A curse was placed on anybody that would ever rebuild Jericho. But evidently, according to Luke 19, Zacchaeus lived there and Jesus was passing through there. So somebody's going to have a bad day at the judgment one day because they rebuilt that place. But why would anybody leave Jerusalem? Jerusalem represents the will of God. It represents the house of God, the presence of God, the purpose of God, and so forth. It represents that. But why would anybody leave Jerusalem? Why would anybody leave Jerusalem, period? Why would anybody leave Jerusalem for any reason? But here's a man in our text that left Jerusalem for the purpose of going to Jericho. And I want to look at that because I believe with all of my heart that in these days of uncertainty, in these days of testing and trial, and all of us, I've not met one person that said they're just tickled to death about all this corona mess. I've not met anybody that's happy with our normalcy no longer normal. I've not met a person. Everybody hates it. Everybody detests it. And the more I see it, the more I think about it, the more I hear about it, and I can't even stand to turn on the news. I can't even stand to hear anybody talk about it. I was in a place of business on my way home this week and Thursday. I stopped in a place of business, and everybody had on masks. Everybody had on masks. And I had to bite my tongue. I wanted to say to some of them, do you really think that piece of cloth on your face is going to be effective? And some of them had a mask on, but they had it pulled down plumb under their chin. Boy, that's effective. Or even worse, some of them had it pulled down underneath their nose. Just their mouth was in it. Amen. But anyway, for whatever it was, amen, that's all right. But I'm not going to get sucked into that, Lord willing. Hopefully not. I hope I've got more sense than that. But here's a man that left Jerusalem. And without a doubt, in our day, and I got a report even this morning after church, actually, had a pastor from down in North Carolina said that, and he told me how many that he had this morning. This morning was their first Sunday back, and compared to the numbers they normally have, and he's very disturbed. He's very, very disturbed as to the low number that came to the house of God after, what has it been, 2 months or whatever. And that seems to be a common concern, and we also are concerned about some as to, are they going to come back, or are we going to lose some, are we going to gain some? And without a doubt, in this period of time that we're living in, there's going to be some that are going to walk away from Jerusalem. They're going to leave the Jerusalem life representing the will of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God and the peace of God and the presence of God, and they're going to leave that. But I want you to all know, and I believe God is sending me a warning, sending us all a warning. You can't just leave Jerusalem and remain neutral. If you leave Jerusalem, you're going somewhere else. And if you leave Jerusalem, I promise you, wherever you go, it's going to be down. The Bible said he went down from Jerusalem. And so I just believe God wants to stir us up this evening about the subject of leaving Jerusalem for Jericho. The Bible said in verse number 30, and this caught my attention as I read it and reread it and looked at it, the Bible said in verse 30, a certain man, no name given, no personal information given. We know nothing about who this person was. We know nothing about any family, any positions he held. We have no idea other than one thing, that he used to live and be and dwell in Jerusalem. Other than that, the only other thing that we know and the consequences of it was that he left Jerusalem. Why he left Jerusalem, we don't know. That's not given to us. It's not revealed to us in the scripture as to why he left Jerusalem. And there's no name given. And I believe one of the things is show us there that it's not important who his name is. It's not important that we know details about this man. Because I believe that in light of that, what is being stressed is that it don't matter who you are. It don't matter, amen, where you are, where you live. It doesn't matter. You leave Jerusalem. The Jerusalem path, the Jerusalem protection, and you leave that Jerusalem life representing the will of God and all that that I've already covered, that the results are not going to be good. That you could put your name in there as well as the person who walked away. And I want us to say this before we go on any further, that all of us have that potential. I want to just ask this question. How many of you here know of some person or several people who once served God? Not just go to church, but I mean serve God, had a testimony of serving God, and tonight they're not even in church. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to look at that. Almost everybody in the church knows somebody that used to be, in light of our message tonight, in Jerusalem. They lived the Jerusalem life. They were involved in that Jerusalem ministry. Amen. And for whatever reason, they walked away, left Jerusalem to go to Jericho. And so I want to just look at some things. The one thing that stuck out to my heart even today was just the thought of leaving Jerusalem. Why would anybody want to leave that Jerusalem life? That Jerusalem spirituality. Why would anybody even consider that? Now let me say this, and I'll jump ahead of myself right here on purpose. This man, before he ever left Jerusalem in action, he left Jerusalem in attention. Before, amen, his mind was already on that path and in Jericho before he ever left the city limits of Jerusalem. And I want to say that on purpose to warn us all. You never do anything spiritually that is not first activated in your mind. If you're quitting in your mind, it won't be long till you'll quit in your actions. Amen. If you've got, like for instance, another example, Luke 15, the prodigal son, Brother Craig, he went to the far country in his mind and in his heart before he ever left the front porch of his father's house. Pay attention to your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. If you're carnal and worldly and sinful in your thoughts, it won't be long till it'll be action. So here's a man that left Jerusalem to go to Jericho. Who would have ever chose Jericho? Who would have ever picked and chose Jericho with the reputation that it's got in the Bible? With the testimony that it's got among others that's had the scars and marred evidence of the Jericho Road. We hear that gospel song right years ago on the Jericho Road, you know, and the bass comes in and all that. And there's nothing good ever said about Jericho that I'm aware of in the scripture. Why would anybody choose Jericho? Here's a word of warning to all of us, word of caution. If we stoop to the point that we're considering leaving Jerusalem, then that shows us right there that we are in a condition to where we will consider going to Jericho. When we're at Jerusalem, we're in the will of God, we're serving God, and we've purposed in our heart, we're going to please God and serve Him and honor Him. Jericho? No, not me. I'm not going to no Jericho church. I'm not going to have a Jericho preacher. No. But when you get weak, and when you get beat down, and when you get discouraged, you start considering Jericho. The further down you go spiritually, the better Jericho sounds. But let's look at it just a moment. Let's look at some things about this. Number one, let's just mention maybe possible reasons. That's all we can do is possible reasons. We can't say for sure why he left Jerusalem. And why did he go to Jericho? Maybe here are some possible reasons for leaving. Number one, could it be the preaching that was at Jericho? I found out that, Brother Craig, there was 12,000 priests that resided in Jericho. Now, if they had 12,000 priests, I believe we'd be all safe to say that Jericho, as wicked as it was religious. There's been a lot of people left Jerusalem churches and Jerusalem preaching to go to Jericho because they liked the messages that comes from there. They liked that religion that mixes well with the world. And you don't have to go far to find them even in our day. All you have to do is just turn the television on and they're some of this got the most huge churches, mega churches. They don't ever preach against nothing. I mean, it's a known fact that Joel Osteen has got a large number of sodomite members in his church. He's told that on public television. Are y'all listening? And you won't never hear him preach against sin. Amen. He won't never preach against it because I've heard him myself say when he was interviewed on live television, God didn't call me to preach against sin. Can you imagine a man of God saying something stupid like that? How could God call a man to preach his word and then avoid dealing with sin? That's ignorant. Amen. That's absurd, isn't it? So maybe, possibly, I'm just saying this is possible. We don't know. And since we don't know, my guess is as good as yours. Amen. But he could have left to Jerusalem because he didn't like all that straight-laced preaching up there at Jerusalem. He didn't like that separation from the world stuff. And he didn't like that that emphasis of holiness and separation and godliness. We don't like that preacher. We want to go somewhere where it's loose. We want to go where they got them Jericho preachers that don't, you know, they preach with look like you don't know if they're going to go playing golf or you don't know if they're fixing to go run track. You don't know what they're fixing to do because they're dressed so dressed down. They're dressing way down. And we're living in that day of dressing down to go to church even. Amen. There are people in some places, they wear their pajamas to church so they can be comfortable. I guess, I don't know. I don't have a Bible verse on pajamas that going to what church. I don't have it. As long as it's my, I don't have, but just the concept of it, most time when I put, well, I don't hardly wear them things, but when I put on PJs, or y'all listen, when I put on PJs, listen, I'm looking to get comfortable. I'm not looking to go out in public. I'm looking to lay down, get horizontal, and pass out. That's what I'm looking at. Say amen right there. So that's a mentality. When you dress down and you come to the house of God, it's you've come to church with the wrong mindset to even start with. Well, I don't need to get on that. But anyway, could it be the preaching? Could it be the 12,000? And there, listen, if you're wanting to find Jericho preachers, there's a lot of them. I don't know how, Jericho wasn't that big of a town. Unless the one whoever rebuilt it made it bigger than what it was in the Old Testament. It wasn't really that big. The Israelites walked around it, had no problem to walk around it once a day. Easy. In fact, it was so small that on the seventh day, they walked, was it the sixth day or seventh day, they walked around it six times. It was 13 times total. So it wasn't that big, Brother Craig, but can I get this? 12,000 priests inside that town. Somebody wasn't preaching. Somebody wasn't preaching. If there's that many preaching going on, and Jericho is still a Jericho. But anyway, well, what about this one? What about number two? What about the possibility of pleasures? That's usually one of the main reasons why a lot of people walks away from the Jerusalem spirituality and the Jerusalem life and the Jerusalem direction is maybe because of pleasures. In Judges 1 and verse 16, Jericho is called the city of palm trees. Can you get that image in your mind? I don't know if it was near an ocean or not, but it evidently palm trees was the climate was nice. And probably, no doubt, a lot of pleasures. And we don't know all the pleasures that was in Jericho, but we do know when Joshua conquered Jericho that there was a woman that lived on the wall who found her way into the lineage of Christ, and her name was Rahab the harlot. The world's religion is classic at mixing religion and immorality. So maybe there was pleasures available. Who knows? We don't know. We could speculate. I've got other things that I still don't have no Bible for. But so I'm going to preach stuff I do have a Bible for. How's that? So not only do we see the possible reasons of leaving, and some have left because of preaching. Some have left, and I don't have time to deal with that. I don't want to get depressed and a good service tonight. But I know for a fact there have been people leave here because they don't like the preaching. They like the singing. They like the Sunday school teaching. They like the youth department, but now they can't handle that preaching. They can't handle the preaching. I don't know why. I don't consider myself a mean preacher, but I do consider myself a Bible preacher. I mean, if someone comes up to me when I preach against sin or against separational things or whatever, lay your Bible down and say, here, preacher, you got out of the scripture right here. Of course, you better know what you're talking about. That's all I can tell you. I'm not saying that as a threat. I'm just saying that, if the shoe fits, wear it. But here's the thing. So there's multiple reasons why people leave. And everybody needs to be very careful in making such a decision, because leaving is just one part of the equation. Leaving Jerusalem was only one part of the equation. You know what the other part was? Went to Jericho. Amen. And when a person leaves, and I'll just make it personal here, when a person leaves or a family leaves or whatever, and they leave here, RBT, and when you see them on the road or in a restaurant or whatever, and it's very evident that carnality is coming into their life like a flood, that right there speaks volumes as to why they left. But anyway, you take that for whatever it's worth. Number two, let's move on. Possible reasons for leaving. Number two, the patterned route for leaving. I want you to get that. I made that point on purpose, Brother Craig. Well, here's why. Patterned route. This man leaves us a pattern, and it'll be a pattern for you. It'll be a pattern for me. If I get out of God's will, amen, you can count on it. We can. Sin is predictable. The results of sin is predictable. Why? Because we have a Bible that shows us people that made sinful choices and the consequences. And it'll be the same for us. It'll be the same for us. So there is the patterned route of leaving. Well, if it's a pattern, let's look at that pattern. Let's look at it. Let's itemize it just here real quickly. The first thing that I see in this patterned route, number one, it's a departing path. And we've already covered that some. It's a departing path. It's leaving Jerusalem. You'll never go to Jericho till first you leave Jerusalem. That's deep, isn't it? It's a departing path. The key word in verse number, let's look at it here. Verse 30, the key word there is the word from. The Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem. The word from, it means off, away from, something near. It means away from a place, a time, and a relation. A departure, a departing path. Always know this, that when the devil's making an effort to get you away from God's will, God's word, God's ways, he's got where he wants to take you in mind. Amen. So it's a departing path. You can't go to Jericho until you first leave Jerusalem. That's not deep, but that's very practical. The Jerusalem life is a protection and a prevention against the Jericho life. Where would these young people be if you didn't have the Jerusalem raisings, amen, and rearing that you've had? If you didn't have a mom and a daddy and grandma and a grandpa and a neighbor that cared enough about you to take you to a Jerusalem church where you could hear Jerusalem preaching, no telling where you'd be. No telling where your children would be. Again, you can't go to Jericho till you first leave Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a safe haven for us. I know as long as I stay in the right church and stay in the right Bible and stay right with God, then the chances of me going, Brother Fultz, to Jericho is unlikely. It always is going to be possible. It's always going to be a potential. But it's unlikely as long as I make up my mind, I'm not leaving Jerusalem. So it's a departing path, and we could say a lot more about that. I'm going to say one other thing before we leave off that point. God knows that there is a connection between where you are, what you are, and why you are. And the devil knows that if I'm going to destroy where you are and what you are and why you are, I've got to attack the first one. I've got to get you out of your place. I've got to get you away from Jerusalem. I've got to get you away from that. Amen. And when he gets you away from where you are, then the next thing that crumbles is what you are. And the third thing that crumbles is why you are, or that deals with your purpose. Why you are where you are and what you are. Okay? So anyway, there's a departing path here before us. Number two, this is so simple, it just can easily be overlooked. But secondly, it is a declining path. The Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem. Any direction from Jerusalem is down. It's a declining path. Why would anybody make a decision that the results of that decision, the consequences of that decision would be a negative and would be a decline. A decline. Listen to this. It's a declining path. That word went down means to descend. None of us should want to make a decision or a choice that would take us down to a lower level. That don't even make sense. Why would we not want to stay on a level where God wants us to be, if anything, go higher? Never make a decision that's going to make you go down and take you down and bring about a decline, a step down, a go down, a come down in your life. Listen to this. The pathway from Jerusalem to Jericho was very steep, meaning that a person walking this path would decline rapidly. How many of us seen people get out of church and how rapidly they went downhill rapidly. I mean, from just one day to the next, one week to the next. Next thing you know, you my goodness, I can't believe the condition that person's in or that family is in. Listen to this. Jericho was 825 feet below sea level. Jericho was 3,000 feet below Jerusalem. A person walking this path would decline very quickly. Amen. Now, I want to go further in detail with that in just a moment on the next point. Number three, if you want to write it down, it is a distancing path. It's a distancing path. In other words, the Jericho road, the Jericho path that went from Jerusalem. And by the way, the devil's going to make sure there is a path, that well-trodden path that goes from the Jerusalem life into the Jerusalem spiritual life, amen, down to Jericho. He's going to make sure that you know that there's been many others walk that trail. But it's a distancing path. Every step you take, it's further down and further away. I found out in studying this that Jericho was approximately 18 to 21 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, I want you to get this. I'm just going to give you some Bible numerology here. If it's 18 miles, just what does 18 mean in the Bible? 18 in the Bible is the number of bondage. So anytime you leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho, you are headed in the direction of bondage. If it's 21 miles, some commentators said 18, some commentators said 21. If it's 21 miles, 21 in Bible numerology is the number of exceeding sinfulness of sin. But let's just take the small number, 18. If it's 18 miles and you can walk a mile in 30 minutes, and surely any of us can do that, that's kind of a slow pace. Walk a 30-minute mile. Brother Carroll, you can run a mile in what? 12, 15? I don't remember now. I know you told me before. Oh, my goodness. Don't that make us all sick? Brother Carroll can run a mile in 7 minutes. I can't even drive a car a mile in 7 minutes. Hardly. So if he can run a mile in seven, I think it'd be real easy to say a person could walk a mile in 30 minutes. All right, listen to this. So if it's 18 and you can walk a mile in 30 minutes, which averages 2 miles an hour, 2 miles an hour, that means you could go from Jericho or Jerusalem to Jericho in 9 hours. Think of how close you could be from Jerusalem into a messed, wrecked life in just 9 hours. Before the end of the day, your testimony could be ravaged. Your life could be a wreck. Don't ever think that being out of the will of God is way out there somewhere. Don't think for a second that being in the Jericho mindset and headed in the Jericho direction is something distant. No, you can be there. I could be there. You could be there before in the morning or before this evening. It seems so far, but you can be there before you know it. Before the day is gone, your spiritual life and earthly life together can be a wreck. Your testimony can be destroyed. Can you name one thing that we know about this man? Could you tell me one good thing he did in Jerusalem? Could you tell me one area of service that he performed in Jerusalem? No. What do we know this man as? One thing, the man that left Jerusalem. That's all we know of him. He left Jerusalem and he went to Jericho, and then the consequences of that. So it's a distancing path. Number four or three, whatever it is the dangerous path. You know what the Jericho Road was called, be known as? The Red Road or the Bloody Way. Why would anybody make a decision to leave the house of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the work of God, and travel a path that's got a history, that's got a reputation, that's got a testimony as being the bloodshed of occupants thereon? It's a dangerous path. Look what the Bible says about it. The Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and look what the next statement says, and fell among thieves. I hate a thief. Are you listening? I hate a thief. Amen. That burns me up. When somebody would take advantage of a person to steal what they're too trifling lazy to work for. That's what a thief is. A thief steals what somebody else works for. And we're in a day of drug epidemic. I'll get it out in a minute. Start to say pandemic, plandemic, whatever it is. And they can't work. They won't work. I've talked to my neighbor owns his own business. And I was talking to him the other day out there in his yard. And he said, you know what? He said, I can't find nobody to work. He said, I need work. I need workers right now. He said, I can't find nobody to work. He said, the temp service sends me workers. And some of them I send home before they even punch a clock. They come to work high as a kite. He said, you just go in the house. Amen. Some of them won't work because it'll mess up their check. Yeah. I was at Tractor Supply in Morristown this back some time ago, and Tractor Supply, the fellow in front of me was, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that story, but he was talking about his son wouldn't work, wouldn't do nothing except play video games. That's all he'd do. And when he left, I asked the man that was checked him out and checking me out at the cash register, I said, man, I bet I know the issue with that. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, we got a fella here. We need him to work more hours. We've approached him. We need you to work more hours. But he said, I can't work more hours. It'll mess my check up. Governmentally dependent to the point that he'd rather be government dependent than to work and be honest and all of that. He said, I can't do that. So thievery is going to be getting higher and higher, the rate of it and the happening of it. It's going to happen. Amen. It happens all the time in Rogersville. People having their garages broke into. They're having things stolen out of their yard. Amen. Why? Because people that are too lazy to work. Amen. They try to steal what somebody else worked for, and they go pawn it to buy drugs and pills. Why would anybody be given to such bondage? It's a distancing. It's a dangerous path. Nobody ever travels this path, but what there's not wounds involved. And let me give you this. I wrote this down earlier today. I was just reading this again and looking at it. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Now, do you know those thieves probably didn't attack everybody that come through there? Oh, boy, this got big. Well, why did he attack this fella? They saw him coming, and they recognized just by looking at him that he had some valuables. He had some things that they needed to steal. Oh, boy. The devil is come not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's called a thief. The devil is. The devil don't bother everybody. The devil don't bother everybody because everybody don't have valuables. Amen. Things of value, things of importance. When they saw this man coming down the road, they seen him coming from Jerusalem. So they knew that he had some things. And so they said, we're going to attack him. We're going to trap him. We're going to catch him when he comes around these. And it was a rocky terrain. It was easy for thieves to hide. It was easy for crevices and so forth. Thieves, and you wouldn't know there was a thief there until it was too late. I want to tell you, if the devil recognizes you have value, you got valuables, your children are valuable, your marriage is valuable, your church is valuable, your spiritual life is valuable, your convictions are valuable, the devil's going to be sure to attack you, because the Bible said when they attacked him, guess what the next thing said? They stripped him. They stripped him. What about that? They stripped him. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that the enemy here is the one that's after our clothes? Do you need any application on that? The enemy's the one that's after our clothes. Why? I mean, get his billfold, you know, get his money bag, whatever, but why get his clothes? The enemy is the one that is in charge of causing people to take their clothes off. And the nakedness is still a shame. Say amen right there. Amen. Some of you tightened up right there. Oh, Lord, here he goes again. Well, it's in the Bible. Is what you believe in the Bible? Is what you believe in the Bible? But listen, the first thing they done, they attacked his possessions. They attacked his clothes. They stripped him. They attacked his possessions. The second thing they did, they attacked his person. The Bible said they wounded him. Now, why would they want to do that? If they stripped him, Brother Craig, that means they've already attacked his possessions and they've already took from him of any everything that was of any value. But the devil's not happy with that. The devil knows that you can quickly get back up and get back on your feet and get back to Jerusalem and amen. So he attacks your person and he wants to wound you. He don't want you to get back out of that ditch. He don't want you to get back up. He don't want you to go back to Jerusalem. He don't want you to get back on your feet. He doesn't want you to get back in church. He doesn't want you to get back in your Bible. He doesn't want you to get back in prayer. He wants you to be a has-been and a used-to-be. It's a dangerous path. Amen? It's a dangerous path. And then the Bible said they wounded him. They wounded him. And I'll tell you how bad it was. The Bible said they left him half dead. They beat him to a pulp, friend. And these thieves represents the world. If you want to write this down in your Bible, I got it wrote down in my, this is a Bible I've been using since 81. I got it wrote up here in the top of my Bible. The world, talking about those thieves, will beat you up. Religion, talking about the priest and the Levite, religion will pass you up. But then Jesus, the Good Samaritan, will pick you up. That's good. I don't know where that come from, but that's good. Who said that? I can. Because it's good enough to repeat. Amen. The world will beat you up, verse number 30. Religion will pass you up, verse 31 and 32. But Jesus will pick you up, verse 33. So not only is it a dangerous path, number whatever it is, E, it is a destined path. It's a destined path. If you leave something, there's a destiny that you're going to be arriving at. And I put little squares around the word from and then the word to. Those two words are connected. Down from Jerusalem to Jericho. To Jericho is the destiny. Amen. If the devil can get you out of Jerusalem, he can get you in Jericho. Get you out of Jerusalem, he can get you in Jericho. It's a destined path. Amen. He picked the course. Listen to this. He picked the course, but he didn't pick the cost. He planned the trip, but he didn't count on the trouble. He planned to leave, but he never planned to be beat up and stripped and wounded and left half dead in the ditch. See, when you first leave Jerusalem, it may look like it was a good choice. Everything's fine. You know, you make a few steps down the pathway and you think, you know, this is not too bad. But listen, somewhere down the pathway, it's the not so bad is going to turn real bad. Because the Jericho road could not have the testimony of the bloody road, the red road, unless it had been death to a lot of people. Or at least wounded a lot of people. So it's a destined path. Listen, I want God to speak to us about that. Amen? He picked the path, but not the price. He made it out of where he was, but he never made it in to where he wanted to go. He left Jerusalem to go to Jericho, but the thieves got him before he made it. My goodness, may the Lord help us with that. Amen. Before he departed, but he never reached his destiny. Let me mention this, and I've already covered this some, but we'll just give it to you by just way of outline. Not only number one, we saw what was number one. The possible reasons for leaving. Number two, the patterned route in leaving. Number three, there is the painful regret for leaving. This man, if he could testify, and he lived through it because of the Good Samaritan. Thank God there was restoration because of the Good Samaritan. Isn't that a blessing? Miss June testified this morning about, we all about got happy, and she was talking about how that Jesus, sometimes he comes to people that are caught up in the consequences of their sin. Here's a man laying in the ditch because he made the choice to leave Jerusalem. Had he stayed in Jerusalem, it wouldn't have happened. So he makes a decision to go to Jericho, get on the Jericho road, and he makes that decision to go there. Well, here he is. He's beaten, he's stripped, he's wounded, he's left, he's half dead, he's in the ditch. They're deserving, I guess you could say deserving of what you had that coming to you. Make your bed, you lay in it. But the Good Samaritan, thank God, have come and exercised mercy, exercised grace, and got in the ditch with him. The Bible said he'd come to where he was. Amen. He saw him. He looked on him. The Bible says here in verse 33 that he saw him and, listen, had compassion on him. He didn't go over there with a judgmental, critical, you deserve that, you should have listened to the preacher, you shouldn't have left Jerusalem, none of that. No, thank God he got in the ditch with him. I want to tell you, I'm glad that Jesus, my good Samaritan, has not come and approached me based on justice. Because there would be times that he could have said, die. You just might as well die in that ditch. I'm not helping you. You wouldn't listen to me. You willfully walked away from me. I'm not helping you. But aren't you glad? Thank God, whoever it is that sings that song, Kaylee sings it, I believe. How's that song go? He won't patch it up. He will patch it up. He will patch it up. Thank God. How many of us has been away from Jerusalem before? Come on now. That doesn't mean you're out in sin, you're robbing banks and getting drunk and all that stuff, but you got out of God's will. You got distant from the house of God. You got distant from the presence of God. But I want to tell you, aren't you glad? Amen. Listen, I couldn't rejoice for all them that walked by me and didn't help, didn't pray, didn't care. And thank God there was Jesus that came to where I was. Not in a condoning manner, not in a condonement. I condone your choices. I condone the consequences. No, but he come with compassion and realized, I know what you're made of. I know what you're made of. And I know that you make mistakes. And if God were to mark iniquity, who would stand? Amen. The painful regret of leaving. If you leave Jerusalem, it will be a regretful journey, a regretful choice, because it involves being stripped. You know what that means? Stripped. That simply means that they without permission. That's losing things without permission. The devil comes in and just strips off. things in your life. God help us. Amen. The devil don't care what you look like. You think he cares what you look like laying in the ditch? He's a thief. He doesn't care. He don't care about your family. He doesn't care about your purity. He doesn't care about your morality. He doesn't care about your future. All he wants to do is strip off of you and away from you everything of value so that you no longer have it and leave you in a ditch to die. That's what the devil will do with you. Whoever would even think that sin is your friend is greatly fooled. Sin is not your friend. No. No. Sin don't bless your life. Sin will scar your life. Sin not only strips you, but sin scars. The Bible said he was wounded. And if he was wounded to the point that he was half dead, more than likely these were major wounds. Lost a lot of blood through those wounds. Which means, Brother Craig, if they healed up, they left a scar. Oh, he could have went back to Jerusalem and may have. But he didn't go back without scars. God will forgive you if you sin. But the scars are still there. I tell you right now, friend, that may God help us. Scars don't have to be in my life. Scars don't have to be in your life. Young people, listen. The devil don't care a thing about you. You think he does. You think this world's your friend. No, this world is not. This world is run by the God of this world, little small case G-O-D. The God of this world, the prince and power of the air, cares nothing about you. He doesn't care if he's got you destroyed at 12 years old. He doesn't care if he destroys your life at 16 years old. He doesn't care if your life is filled with scars, amen, in your life that will go to your grave. And don't you ever think that you can play around with sin and not have any scars. There'll be mental scars, there will be emotional scars, and in many cases there'll be physical scars in your life from those choices to leave Jerusalem. Young people, if I could give you any admonishment tonight, stay in Jerusalem. Stay around those Jerusalem preachers. Stay around the Jerusalem Bible. Stay around the presence of God. Stay around people that cares about your future more than your feelings. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. There's a lot. Listen, be careful right here. I want you to hear me clearly. There's a lot of churches you can get saved in. But there's very few churches you can raise your family in. Amen. That's right. Amen. He got stripped, got scarred, and he got stomped. He was beaten. He was wounded from blows and was left half dead. But number four, and I've already covered this some, but number four, there is the precious rescue from leaving. I'm glad that failures are not final. I'm glad that, listen, you make a decision, you make a choice to get cold on God, get distant on God, get out of God's will, and I want to tell you, that is so easy to do. Many in this building right here can testify how quickly we went from being right with God in a good service on Sunday night to being backslid as a goat on Monday. Amen. Probably the most fragile thing we have in our life is our spiritual life. It can be here this minute and gone the next minute. One choice can get us flipped over from spiritual to carnal. One choice, one decision. Amen. Thank God, him making the wrong decision, Brother Preston, and going in the wrong direction, no doubt probably for the wrong reasons. But aren't you glad that wasn't the end of the story? Aren't you glad, Brother Ryan, that the end of that story is not he was in a ditch, left him half dead beside the road in a ditch, and that was the end of the story. Aren't you glad of that? Folks, we ought to rejoice over that, because I've been in that ditch a few times. You've been in that ditch a few times to some degree. But aren't you glad that wasn't the end of your story? Aren't you glad there's forgiveness with the Lord? Aren't you glad when religion will pass you by? Amen. And people will pass you by and look down their little polished snout like that Levite would do. Oh, I can't get over there. I can't be identified with them. Aren't you glad there's a good Samaritan? Aren't you glad there's a good Samaritan? Jesus is a good Samaritan. God wants us to be good Samaritans as well. Go thou and do likewise. God wants us to be good Samaritans in that when we see somebody fall, Galatians 6:1, when you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. Yeah, there are those that's going to look down critically and say, I can't believe you done that. I can't believe you made that choice. I can't believe you left that church. I can't believe you let your children do this. I can't believe you got out of God's will. Whatever. Listen, whoever's saying that is probably in a ditch themselves. If they're not, they will be. Amen. May God help us to have a little compassion on people that's in the ditch. Amen. Some of the meanest people in the world goes to church. You cross them just any little way, and them, especially if they've got just a little element of Phariseeism in them, and they got their little tight suspenders, and they think, man, I am it. They're acting as if they're ditch proof. They're acting as if they're thief proof. They act like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe, you know, whatever. It wouldn't happen to me. You're next. To him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I tell you what attitude we ought to have is if I leave Jerusalem, I'm subject to do anything. If I leave Jerusalem, I'm subject to lose anything. I heard a report just today, and I'm not going to go in details, but I heard of a preacher that man used to hold it tight. I mean hold it tight, tight line. Take a strong stand on the King James Bible. Strong stand on Baptist history. Strong stand on a lot of areas. And I respected and esteemed that man highly. And he's done went way out in left field. Way out. I mean way out. Goes to a contemporary church, don't even use a King James Bible, has all kind of concerts and mess going on. You know what happened right there? Left Jerusalem. Somewhere through there, he missed it somehow, and he left Jerusalem. You get away from that Jerusalem life, you're subject to have any kind of commentary on your life. Whatever the next chapter is in your life, you may not write it, but you're going to be the subject. Young people, you can live your whole life and never have a ditch chapter. You can live your whole life and never know what it is to be away from Jerusalem and be on the Jericho Road and get beat up by sin, amen, and passed up by religion and all of that. You don't have to have none of that. You don't have to have none of that. Stay at Jerusalem. Stay in the will of God. It don't matter what condition you get in your mind, don't ever give in to it. Don't ever give in to it and say, well, I'm thinking it, I might as well say it. I'm thinking it, I might as well do it. No! Don't leave Jerusalem. No matter what, don't leave it. Don't leave the will of God for your life. Amen. Because he never got in the ditch till he left Jerusalem. But if you've left Jerusalem, anybody watching, you've left Jerusalem, anybody here, you've left Jerusalem to maybe some degree. Maybe you're not in Jericho. Maybe you've not went that far. Maybe you could turn around. If you turn around right now, you could probably still see where you left. And right now would be a good time to, instead of go any further, learn from a Bible story that's given to us. Oh, preacher, it won't happen to me.
And you can't help but, you listen, we can't, surely we all agree that this man in this story knew of the history of that trail, of that path. He probably knew buddies that never came back. He saw them leave Jerusalem, but they never came back, never returned. And he got word they died in the ditch. They died in the ditch. They were beat to a pulp and they died. They died with nothing. Left Jerusalem with everything and died with nothing. Boy, I don't want that, Brother Fultz. I don't want that to be my testimony. I left Jerusalem and had a testimony, had reputation, the will of God and all of that, but I died with nothing. I died with a shattered, marred testimony. I don't want that. I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, that there's another aspect of the story. But a certain man, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, I'd say it was a pitiful sight, wouldn't you? Half dead, probably bloody, stripped, nothing to offer. Nothing to give him. Nothing. Hey. Thank God. I don't see nowhere right here, Miss Susan. I don't see nowhere in my Bible where that good Samaritan leaned down into that ditch and said, hey, I'll help you if. I'll help you if. I'll help you if you'll do this, or I'll help you if you'll give me this, or I'll help you. No, it was just all one-sided. Isn't that good, brother? Jesus come to people that has nothing to offer. All they have is a bloody mess of a life. And Jesus said, I'll take it. Because I got something for those wounds. Hey, boy, that's good right there. I got some fresh oil and wine to pour in them wounds. Woo, glory. Amen. Amen, that's right. I got oil and wine I can pour in them wounds. That wounds, amen. You know what? You're not even going to have to walk. I'll just set you up on my beast and we'll... I'm going to take care of you. That's in that book. That's in that statement right there. Amen. And the Bible said he took care of him. Amen. And he paid the bill. He foot the bill. Yeah. He leaned in, Brother Paul, looked in that ditch and saw that bloody mess of a used-to-be life. He might have said to him, you're broke, I can tell. But I just thought I'd let you know I'm not broke. No thief is big enough to take what I've got. No thief is big enough to beat me up. Amen. Boy, I'm glad, Brother Ryan, that Jesus is on my side, because ain't no thief going to beat him up. No thief going to strip him. No thief going to take him. Amen. Hallelujah. And put him on his own beast and took him to the inn, which is a type of the local church. Took him to the local church and told the keeper, type of the Holy Spirit, said, here, take care of him. Here's your 2 pence. And said, if I owe you any more, when I come back, I'll pay you. I'm going to foot the whole bill for this man to get out of the ditch and get back to Jerusalem. You say, whatever happened, we don't know. We don't know what the end result is, but I can't help but believe that he went back to Jerusalem. I can't help but believe that he went to church that next Sunday morning and asked the preacher, can I testify? I want to testify. I want to tell everybody what happened to me, and it was my fault. I listened to the devil. I listened to my mind. I listened to my carnal heart, and I thought maybe that if I went to Jericho, it wouldn't be so bad. And I thought, you know what? There have been a lot walked that trail and didn't get beat up because they didn't have no valuables. They didn't have nothing worth stealing. And I thought, well, I can travel and nobody bother me. But he went and he found out. Nope. Others may have gotten away with it, but I can't get away with it. Oh, mercy. Went back to Jerusalem. And we don't know what else happened, but I dare say he ever left Jerusalem again. Hey, come on, we're going down to Jericho. Let's go. I hear they're having a party. Not me, I ain't going. Yeah. Hey, what, hey, some of us boys, some of us youth is going down to Jericho. Hang on, we. Hang on one day. I'm not going with you. I done been down that trail. I know what that ditch is like. I know what them, there's thieves down there, and they don't care nothing about you. I'm not going. Some of you young people need to make up your mind. I'm not going. You ought to tell your flesh, I'm not going. It may sound good, and a lot of my friends may be doing it and going there and all of that. Hey, man, but you ought to tell yourself, I'm not going. I'm not going. Why? Because I done heard my preacher preach that the Jericho Road is a bloody road. It's a red road. Amen. I don't have to go and experience it. My preacher preached against it. My mom and daddy taught me against it. Don't go the Jericho Road. Don't leave Jerusalem. Hey, I ain't going. Some of you girls, when you get your boyfriend, if you ever get your boyfriend, and they may say to you, hey, it won't hurt for you to miss Sunday night. It's summertime. Let's go on a picnic. I know it's church night. You'll say, look, I ain't going. Anything to do with the Jericho Road, getting out of God's will, leaving the house of God and the will of God, I'm not going. If they get to poochie lip, I'm going to borrow one of Brother King's statements. He said, adios, muchachos. Whatever that means. Amen. Yeah, just say, adios. See you. Wouldn't want to be you. See you. I'm not going. Well, it won't hurt. There's ever other church kids going to be there. They're laying out of church. I ain't going. My mom and daddy ain't for it. My preacher's not for it. And when I'm right with God, I'm not for it. I'm not going. Folks, can you get this? Young people, can you get this? I'm trying to hush right here. But can you get this right here? Preaching like this, I'm trying my best to keep you off that Jericho Road. Amen. Trying to keep you off that Jericho Road. You don't have to go. Don't let curiosity kill the cat. Don't let curiosity cause you to think, wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder what it'd feel like. Wonder what it'd smell like. Wonder what it'd taste like. I wonder what it'd look like. I wonder what, yeah, that's the same thing that the devil used on Eve, Brother Carol, to get her finally to give in about the tree. Boy, don't it look good? Ain't that beautiful tree? Good for food? One desired to make one wise? And he kept on and on and on till finally curiosity got her. And she gave in. Amen. Amen. Just make up your mind. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the will of God. I'm not leaving God's purpose for my life. Now listen, I know that's this is preaching that in the moment we say, amen, preacher. Amen. Amen. Oh yeah, preacher. Yeah. And then some of these girls, we've seen them over the years. Maybe not some that's right here, but some that has been here. Hear me preach the way I'm preaching tonight. Preaching, trying to protect you, trying to bring about a prevention in your life to keep you from ruining your life and scarring and marring your life. But when old Mr. Blue Eyes came along, all of a sudden, they forgot about their convictions. They forgot about all the preachers preaching. They forgot about what mom and daddy said. And they forgot about what they heard taught in Sunday school. And the next thing you know, romance took the place of their relationship with God. And they make decisions and choices that scars their life for the rest of their life. I want you to have convictions. That no matter who comes in your life, you will not change. Brother Craig, y'all remember when y'all gave me the pastor appreciation thing 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it was, and the whole choir and all the whole church had held up not for sale signs? Y'all remember that? Preacher's not for sale. Oh, glory. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. We're not for sale, but is that something you mean for life? Is that something that your not for sale sign is not for sale? Or is it, well, depending on the circumstance, depending on who likes me, depending on, yeah. No, you need to have a conviction where it don't matter what is going on and who's doing it. I'm not violating my conviction, my Jerusalem conviction. I'm staying at Jerusalem. I'm not leaving Jerusalem. I may be the only one in my youth group. And where I preached this week, they only had one teenager. One. And they introduced me to him. I seen him sitting back there, but I didn't know none of the people, so I didn't know him. And they introduced me the last night of the meeting on Wednesday night. His first name's Austin. They introduced me to him. Nice young fella. And several girls right there just said, I wonder how old he is. I'm just kidding. But I stood right there after the service on Wednesday night and challenged that boy. I said, hey, I want to ask you this. And all y'all have heard me use this. I said, I want to ask you something. I said, how many matches does it take to build a fire? He said, one. I said, how many are you? He thought on it, said, I don't know if he didn't miss, he understood or what, but finally he said, I'm one. I said, be the match that ignites a fire here. A match doesn't need a group, a crowd. A match is got what it needs in itself, of itself, to start a big fire. I said, you may be the only young person here, but I said, get in behind your preacher, get in here, ag the preacher on, testify in services, be involved in the prayer room. Amen. Amen. Be active. Be a proactive spiritual person. Be active in your church, and God will use you. Amen. Well, anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for helping us just give a little challenge to our own heart, mine included. Pray, Lord, you'd speak to us. And Lord, help us, dear Father, to just reassure ourselves today, considering our value of Jerusalem. Are we the house of God, the will of God, the purpose of God? I'm not leaving it. I'm not abandoning it. I'm staying with it. I'm not going to let anybody talk me away from it, talk me out of it. I'm going to stay true to God. I'm going to be submitted to the Lord. And I want to make a difference for Jesus. Father, I pray you'd have your way, and we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.